This episode of An Abundance of Not is brought to you by Amazon.com. Amazon affiliated with us. We're very happy about it. Please go to anabundanceofnot.com, click on the Amazon banner, and do all your shopping as normal. Bookmark for ease of use. We appreciate it.
And TLDRGamer.com. When you don't have a whole lot of time to read the gaming news and just want the brief excerpts, visit TLDRGamer.com. for the core info. Thank you to them for the hosting and bandwidth for our podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome in to An Abundance of Not. It is July 2nd. It's a whole new month.
Yes, it is.
Not to be confused with A Whole New World, because that's a Disney song.
And that is copyrighted.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say, we do not have the rights for that, so
no.
Please refrain.
You don't do, like,
ignore that you
lines.
Heard that here.
Well, with music, you have, what is it, 8 to 10 seconds free use, but after that, it's very touchy.
Yeah, I believe it's 7, but it's been a while since I've looked.
Oh, okay. You're supposed to be the smart, like, digital rights protection guy.
Well, now we're in trouble. But I'm glad that you brought up DRM.
Okay. It's like I said.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Brad's DRM Corner with Brad and no one else.
How you doing, guys?
I'm fantastic.
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
How, we didn't get to really chat, so this is kind of be a two-week sort of personal powwow since last week we had our special guest, which I'd like to think went fairly well.
Yeah. It's pretty nice.
I think so. Different.
I don't know what our users or listeners thought, but I felt it went well, and that's all I care about.
And we would like to know how you, dear listener, felt about it. So please visit our Facebook page and reply.
Yes. Comment,
talk
reply.
To me.
That would be great.
Yeah, talk to us,
yes,
please.
Easy. I got a crystal ball now. They're going to start seancing you from across the country.
It's called Facebook.
Maybe. It's called Facebook. Who wants to kick off maybe what they've been doing for the past couple weeks?
You know, it's been kind of a quiet weekend for us. Didn't do a whole lot. Oh, wait, yes, we did. So the U.S. Navy Blue Angels, their flight demonstration team, was in a city near us. So we took the opportunity to head out there, stayed the night before, went to the Air Force Museum, and then spent the afternoon watching, you know, airplane demonstrations. It was a lot of fun, man.
Any close calls or oh-no moments?
No, there were no oh-no moments. It was all very, very under control. They do fly extremely close, though. Their claim, and I could see it, definitely not exaggerating here, their claim for how close they can get is when they're in their tightest formation, wingtip to canopy of the next plane is 18 inches.
That's crazy.
That is freaking nuts, at 400 miles an hour.
It's actually funny that you went to the air show, because I think 2 days before, Wade and I were watching one of those How Do They Do It shows. And
yep.
One of the segments was on the Blue Angels, and they talked about, some of their procedures and habits when they're doing their shows, along with some of the modifications they've done to the planes, and one of which is they put, I think it's a 40-pound tension spring on the flight stick, so that when they're in that tight formation, the smallest little jerk doesn't send them, you know, careening into each other. So
actually have to consciously move it.
Yes, it definitely a deliberate action to redirect the plane. And then the lead guy, he kind of calls out his actions, but he does it in kind of a interesting humming mentality. The rate of his
the
speed of his voice, the loudness, the volume of his voice, all has a message as to what the action is. So that's really interesting too. Because they all have to be able to move, almost as one with those tight formations.
Absolutely. It was spectacular to see. So if you guys or any of our listeners, if they're coming to anywhere near you, definitely make the time to go see them. It's worth the show.
That sounds like a blast.
And then we did post up on the our Facebook page. Actually, it was a repost from our sister site over at TLDR Gamer. GameStop had a spectacular sale on some game bundles, so we went and picked up the Assassin's Creed bundle.
Good games so, there.
Yep, so five games for a really awesome price. Five games for $25.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's awesome. Even though considering that Assassin's Creed 1 is, what, like 6 years old now, something like that?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not like they're, you know, $60 games anymore each.
No, but I mean, I think
when they rang
out,
it all up, I think it was $60 for all of them, and then, you know, you got the discount, so.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm just remembering that when it came out, it doesn't seem like it was that long ago, but when you picture all the games that are in the series that have followed it, you start to realize, wow, that's games like 6, 7 years old.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was definitely one of my favorite series.
No, I'm starting to get back into it again. You know, at first I wasn't so sure, but after the recent one, Black Flag, I really enjoyed it. So I thought I'd go back and restart the series, seeing as I didn't get into the earlier ones, which it was released in 2007.
Yep, so 7 years ago.
Seven years ago.
So you'll all be caught up for Unity then, when it comes out.
I'm trying. Jeez, don't rush me.
Well, all three of us can play at the same time, and we can be both.
There you go.
Yeah,
there we go. That'll be interesting. Let's see. A couple weeks ago, I mentioned about getting into the martial arts deal, so that we have officially signed up as of yesterday, my daughter and myself, and we will be starting next week. Kind of felt out the lead instructor yesterday, kind of expressed what my expectations were, especially with my daughter, and wanting them to be a little bit more strict with her, especially on the respect factor for other people, for the art, for the studio, because that's something that I really remember doing and getting out of it when I was there. So we'll see how that goes. And like I said, we start next Tuesday, or this coming Tuesday. So that'll be fun. Over the past couple
That's something I've been wanting to do for a while and just never quite get around to.
Well, with your schedule, obviously.
Finding the right weekend class, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is, we're looking at $120 ahead and up per month. And then it sounds like it's pretty much come as often as you want. You know, some places I think kind of have a two lessons per week type of schedule. And it's up to you to make up if you miss. Otherwise, you kind of lose it. But this one is, you know, if I want to go 3 days a week, I can, and nothing's stopping me. So we'll see how that goes. Trying to think what else I did over the past couple weekends. Clearly nothing standing out. We did go see Transformers last Friday, so we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But aside from that, nothing else coming to mind. Wade, you got anything you want to share?
Well, other than I'm headed into a nice 4-day weekend for the 4th of July. People stay safe out there. Let's see, what else are we going into? What was it? Peter Dinklage, I think, was... Yeah, he's going to be in Destiny. That was nice.
Yep.
I think we'll get into that later. Warlord to Draenor beta, closed beta is announced. The Curse of Naxxramas expansion for Hearthstone is slated for this month's release. So, a lot of, how do I say this, stuff that came up recently. So, you know, looking forward to all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it was a little relaxing couple weeks for me. Just get up and go to work and come back home and get some stuff done for the channel.
There we go.
Grueling.
Yep.
Grueling, is that what you said?
Yes.
Nice. Well, if that's all the personal shenanigans we got going on, let's jump into some movies here. I love the sound effect. I realized that I said that last week, and it was pretty faint. So I'll fix that this week. Coming out this week, we have three major movies and a couple documentaries. I'm not sure how widely distributed documentaries will be. But coming out, we have a movie called Tammy. This is with Melissa McCarthy and Susan Sarandon, about a woman who has pretty much a day from hell, loses her job, wrecks her car, husband runs off. And although this could be one of those movies where you lose everything to find yourself, it doesn't seem like it's really written that way, and the writing depends a lot on the acting chops. So critically, 24%. Definitely not on our list. I would like to throw out there that the movies have been released today, July 2nd, as opposed to a Thursday evening, Friday release. So these are all being released as we speak and in theaters now. Second movie is Deliver Us from Hell with Eric Bana and Edgar Ramirez. This is about a cop in, I believe it's New York. Yes, New York, who ends up stumbling on some inexplicable crimes, and he joins forces with an unconventional priest, played by Edgar Ramirez, and they go through some exorcism and demonic possessions and all kinds of other bad stuff terrorizing the city. And this has got a critic rating of 33%. So we're increasing. Finally, we have Earth to Echo, the family movie about a little robotic alien who comes to Earth and befriends a group of kids whose families are all losing their houses due to a freeway development. And so that's coming up also. That's 55%. Now, regarding the documentaries, usually I don't get into them, but a couple of these kind of struck home. First one is Life Itself, and this is pretty much the biography of the very well-known movie critic Roger Ebert, of which he is, being a documentary, he's very much involved. And that's got a 98% for the critics, so they definitely feel that that's worth watching. And finally, a documentary titled America, and not necessarily the documentary you expect. This is more about all of America's dirty laundry. The taking of land from the Native Americans and Mexico and exploiting African labor, contemporary and foreign policies, stealing oil and the capitalist system that robs people of their, quote, fair share, end quote. This has got a 25% critic rating. Kind of interesting to see, you know, the different side of things, but I definitely wouldn't recommend seeing it right in correlation with 4th of July. Might ruin the mood a little bit.
Do you need a downer instead of fireworks?
If so, we recommend this documentary for you. Whoa, that was my fault. Don't mind me.
Wow.
Phone on keyboards. That's just my little advice to you.
Especially when the mic is involved.
Especially when there's a microphone and people are listening. They are listening. So in the box office, this is always fun and exciting. Transformers Age of Extinction, with its mere 17% critic rating, pulls in $100 million opening weekend, of which we contributed.
Your 20 bucks.
Actually, no, it was a mere $1.50 each. We'll talk about that in a moment. 22 Jump Street in second, holding strong, $15.8 million. How to Train Your Dragon 2 at third, $13.3 million. And Think Like a Man 2 at $10.3 million. So that's that. Regarding Transformers, we both had free movie tickets with the local theater, as you get to accrue points when you go see movies. And because it was a new release, we had to spend just a mere $1.50 over the free ticket voucher. So we had a nice little cheap entertainment segue.
But then we bought concessions, which, destroyed that.
You know how that goes.
Concessions always destroy that.
I believe you bought concessions. I had a free soda ticket, too, which I upgraded for another 50 cents. So, all in all, I spent $2.
I spent probably about $5.50.
Yeah. Wade's keeping the theater in business.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's amazing, though, getting off on a little bit of a tangent here. Again, this is another one of those where they keep the prices high, you know, they've got to rake in the money. Well, we have a theater fairly close to us that tends to be more far-reaching in their pricing. You know, and I can take the family and, you know, all four of us for a movie, and by the time you get drinks and popcorn and the movie tickets and whatever, it can be $80-$90 for four of us to see a movie. But if we're prepared to drive about 15 miles away, there's a theater. Oh, and the close one, they don't do refills on anything. No popcorn refills, no drink refills. You want more, you buy it again. There's a theater about 15 miles away from us that all four of us can go see a movie with concessions, popcorn, drinks, candy for about $40 to $50 with refills on everything. Guess which one we go to?
Oh, yeah.
The close one.
No.
Because you like to stimulate the local economy.
You know, the other one is still local enough.
So, interesting deal that I have learned over the years and with talking with people that work at theaters is that the very majority, a significant portion of the ticket, movie ticket, doesn't go to the theater. They make essentially zero money on admission. All that goes to the box office in Hollywood. So all their profit comes from the concessions. I would like the theater to stay around, so I will usually buy some candy and maybe a drink, although I have to be careful with the drink because it usually means I have to get up mid-movie. So that's kind of a downer. But I'm not spending $12 for a single bag of M&Ms. I mean, let's not be ridiculous.
Yeah.
But, you know, I am spending the $4 or $5 on a pack of Red Vines or something like that and making sure the kid has what she needs so she's happy. So
there is that. It's just one of those things when they get greedy, you know, it's hard to drop $90 on a movie. So we'll kind of, I don't know, that one doesn't look so good. But when it's, you know, $10 a person, movie and snacks, maybe we'll go see a couple extra.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess that's always the economic trade-off. I mean, where do you set your price versus profitability that would provoke people to buy concessions that otherwise wouldn't, mm-hmm. for you to make up the difference profit-wise? You know, is two Hershey bars at 75 cents more profit than one Hershey bar at $1.25.
Yep.
So,
well, and that's the thing. When the timing works out in such a way that we, you know, we have to go to the closer one to get the times that we need, typically we don't spend as much on concessions. You know, maybe we'll split a drink between, you know, we'll get two drinks instead of four. We'll get one bucket of popcorn instead of two. And we're not getting candy, you know?
Yep. Agreed.
So, well, anyway, a little bit of a tangent there.
With that tangent, Wade, do you want to talk about Transformers? What you thought, what you didn't like, what you did like?
I really liked the movie. I mean, it was a nice refresh from not having to watch whatever his name is.
Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, Shia LaBeouf. It was like, I don't...
Who's been in the news pretty negatively recently, although we don't need to talk about
that. Yeah. I was like, I don't need to watch his love life.
No, instead you got a different love life in the movie.
Well, not really.
You kind of did.
But it was like...
It wasn't as thrown in your face.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't. Let's watch him mess around with this hot girl for an hour. It was like, well, here's Optimus Prime. All right, cool. So, I mean, it was nice to have that. Mark Wahlberg, I believe, is a better actor than Shia.
Clearly.
So,
did Optimus Prime need saving again?
Do you want me to spoil the movie for you?
I can pretty much guess.
Okay.
Good guys get in trouble. Bad guys start running amok. Good guys overcome insurmountable odds to beat the bad guys.
I'm not so sure if it's insurmountable odds, but odds.
So it seems that they've become very formulaic.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, they're trying to add in a little bit of suspense and all that kind of jazz. And, you know, it only goes so far when you've seen it three other times in the same genre, in the same franchise, rather. A few issues I had with the movie, I thought that the villainous character was not defined very well. He just there, present, doing whatever he was doing to accomplish some unknown means in his perspective.
He was a bounty hunter for like the beings that created the Transformers. That was it.
And that's about all you got. And he was, you know, well, I don't want to spoil stuff. Anyway, he's present at the beginning of the movie. No story as to how he got there, why he got there, why he's made the alliances that he has, why he's taken the actions he's doing. He's just there.
Well, actually, there was that he's being sent by the beings that created Transformers, that the beings want the Transformers back.
Yeah, so that's I don't know. I never really got a clear idea of the agenda on that side. Most of the movie I really did enjoy. I did look online to see maybe why some of the critic ratings were so low. And some of the ratings expressed that, or some of the reviews expressed that they thought the movie was jumpy because they're in Chicago and then they kind of quickly jump to China. But it wasn't confusing. To me, they expressed where they were, why they were going. I mean, if you're watching the movie, you get it. Nothing's really confusing. Now, if you take a bathroom break and you come back, you're like, okay, why are they over here all of a sudden? Well, that's your fault. Not the movies.
Like robots that can fly, at least one of them, I believe. So it's like, it's not that hard to figure out how this happened.
Yeah.
Do we really need to be like, oh, they're on a plane. Okay, so that's how they did it. I mean, come on, people.
No, but the why, you know? It's like all of a sudden we're from Chicago, now we're in China. But I thought they did a decent enough job expressing, A, that they were going to China, B, why they were going to China, and that they were now in China. There wasn't a lot of guesswork for me on that front. The movie is long. The movie is something like 2 hours and 45 minutes long. So take that into your calculations if you're going to go see it. I felt that they waited too long to introduce some of the more key aspects. It seemed like the movie was intentionally drug out longer than it needed to be. So I guess that's kind of a hang up for me. But I enjoyed it. I mean, for $2, I got almost 3 hours of entertainment. I mean, that's a good payoff for me.
Yeah, but one faux pas I noticed was when Mark Wahlberg's character was actually investigating a truck. He opened the door and found what he said, mortar, thank you, shells in it. Those weren't shells, those were casings that would come out of the back of the mortar gun.
They were like bullet brass, not bullet projectile, so I guess I can understand that. That's an easy, a lot of people would say something like that. I did like how they...
Yeah, but technical faux pas like that detract from when somebody likes things authentic.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
You know, so, if you're going to refer to that, do your research.
Yeah, but my argument to that is the average person who comes across that would probably say a shell. So looking at it from more of a realistic, real-world conversation with an average person... That didn't hinder anything for me. That didn't ruin my immersion into the movie. So I don't see that as really being a big deal. When there's huge faux pas as to he's holding something in his left hand and they clip over and now it's in his right, I mean, I see that as a big deal. You know, things of that nature. I did like, and I mentioned this last week, that Optimus Prime was in his original form as some of the diehard fans were making a big fuss about it. Spoiler alert, that only happens for so long.
That was actually one thing that I caught as well. He's in his original form, he's busted up.
Yeah.
But you know, it's like, it's a whole big problem that it's going to take a miracle to fix. And he's like, drive along, scan a car, poof, fixed.
Well, what? And that's the thing that I never understood about that controversy.
Which,
you know, we see in the very, very, very first movie where Bumblebee gets rebuffed and scans a cooler car and becomes it.
Yeah.
So, you know, Optimus Prime scanned a different kind of truck. Deal with it.
Yeah, and yeah. I mean, they kind of address that here. I mean, he's in the form of the original Mack truck that he was in the cartoon series. So for the diehard fans, he was that original Optimus. And then partway through the movie, he gets an upgrade. I mean, the end. Conversation over, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. So, no, but I mean,
I wonder if that was the filmmaker's way of kind of flipping off those.
Look, we gave you what you want. Now shut up about it.
Yeah. Let us do our jobs. Thank you.
Yeah. The end. But I enjoyed it. I mean, I realize the critics didn't absolutely love it. There's better rated movies out there. But for the money, especially that we spent, and even for what you'd spend normally for a 2 hour long bit of entertainment, I feel it's worth it. I think it's entertaining. I didn't have any huge deterrence for the movie.
Awesome.
Sorry?
He said awesome.
Oh, fantastic.
I said awesome.
Fantastic. With that being said, with the movies coming out this week, I don't foresee a trip to the theater in my immediate future. And with that, let us jump into some news. What do you boys say?
Go!
Sounds good to me.
Butt-a-dup.
Wow.
Just in case you didn't know your cue.
Yeah, just in case you didn't hear the bump at the end.
Yeah, I really like that sound effect. We got to think, we got to give a shout out to the author of that.
You can find that in the show notes.
I just don't know who the author is. It is in the show notes. I just don't know it off the top of my head.
We give credit every week in the show notes.
That's right.
Because we appreciate that.
And we're required to under Creative Commons licenses.
Very useful. Absolutely.
Anyway, moving on. The NSA is back in the news.
Woo-hoo! Do we have a sound effect for their abundance of NSA?
We need like a dee 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 like Morse code.
We are listening.
Dateline, Washington, D.C. The Director of National Intelligence released a report detailing their activities for 2013. Link will be in the show notes. I'm not going to go through everything. Just kind of noting that they are actually starting to release some of the details. For instance, in 2013, there were 19,212 national security letters.
Wow.
Made requesting. Those letters detailed 38,832 requests for information.
Holy crap.
Whoa. Yes.
Takes we are listening to a whole other group. A point.
It does. Under Section 702 searches, which is what PRISM runs under, they reported 89,138 targets.
Holy shiza.
Yeah. So, you know, they're recording everything and spying on a great many.
And targeting a significant portion.
Yes.
I think that's the biggest thing to point out is not only are they listening to everything, but they've come up with that many potential targets. I mean, we're talking 90,000 people are on the NSA's high risk list, it sounds like.
Yeah, yeah. These are people we're paying attention to.
Yeah. That's
which huge. Which just makes any further... I mean, if you're watching that many people, then you should know, you know, when things are going to happen before they know they're going to happen.
Minority Report?
Yeah, kind of. You know, so I guess one of the things that I guess the big thing out of this is it becomes, in my mind, kind of like a liability. If you've got all this data and we have another attack, I'm going to blame you.
Yeah, it definitely points a bigger finger at the conspiracy theory because, like you said, you have the information. There is no excuse now. You're doing this and claiming you're doing it on the side of safety for America, and you still can't keep us safe? Tell me again why you're doing this?
Now's the time for you to
put
your
up?
Money where your mouth is to
act upon. Well, you know, for the record, I don't approve of this. I don't think they should be doing this, but they have the data, so any other attacks, you know, It's your fault.
Yeah. And that's, yeah, it's the point. You have the ability, you know, if you're not doing anything with this data, then why are you doing it in the first place?
Yep.
Well, apparently they are, because they're watching and targeting, like, thousands of people.
Mm-hmm.
Stalking someone and raping someone aren't the same thing.
Wow, that...
I mean, it's...
That escalated quickly.
No, but they're both bad.
They're both bad, and I'm trying to put it in perspective, you know? I mean... Watching someone get murdered and stopping them getting murdered is two very different things. How about that? Is that better for you?
Whew.
Did I get your attention, listeners? Glad we're here.
Moving on.
Are we moving on?
We are. Unless you've got something else you want to bring up about it. Link will be in the show notes with all the further details.
Fantastic. Well, from one side of the government to another, we got the Supreme Court allowing profit corporations, religious-based or whatnot, to pick and choose what laws they want to follow, provided they meet their religious views. This comes from the Hobby Lobby craft store, much like a Michael's or Joann's Fabrics, etc., who went up to the Supreme Court fighting that they should not have to pay for contraceptives because those go against their religious views and should not be forced to cover those costs for their employees. And after a 5-4 vote from the Supreme Court beats me. Maybe someone can enlighten me, but had agreed with Hobby Lobby's stance, saying that you shouldn't have to be, we shouldn't be violating your religious perspectives or force you to do something against your religious views. Keeping in mind, this is a corporation. It's a profit-based company. It's not a nonprofit charity. This is a place of business. And the government is saying, you don't like that? That's okay. You don't have to follow that rule.
I'm trying to think of something here. They're saying the company doesn't want to pay for the contraceptive? What?
For like birth control and whatnot.
Because why? I never heard of a company having to pay other people for their contraceptives.
It's part of the insurance benefits that are given to the employees. The company has to pay into certain aspects of the insurance packages that are offered to their customers. And they're being told that they don't have to offer that piece of the insurance puzzle to their employees.
I thought, I just feel that your contraceptive thing is your own business and shouldn't be held by the
but like medications, like medications, your insurance covers a portion of it.
Okay.
Now, it goes deeper involved in saying that nonprofits are being told the same thing, but they have to fill out a special form that allows the government to help subsidize the acquisition of the contraceptives. And even these companies and nonprofits are advocating against having to do that, because even allowing the government to assist in people getting the contraceptives is still a violation of their religious views, because contraceptives are bad.
I think that the court decision, I don't think it started with the decision today. I think the start of this was, what was it, a year or so ago with the campaign finance reform, where the Supreme Court ruled that a company has the right to free speech, it has a voice, and, you know, loosened how much contributions a company could make towards the, you know, election funds of politicians. This whole concept that a company can be a person and has the same rights as a person, I think that's where we started down the slippery slope to this. And the problem that this introduces is where do you stop getting to pick and choose what you want to...
Exactly. Yeah,
what you want to agree with. You know, there are religious organizations that don't believe in blood transfusions. Yep. So, you know, you have a accident on the interstate and you lose a bunch of blood and you're taken to the hospital and your company that you work for goes, yeah, sorry, we're not going to help you with that.
You don't get the insurance that covers blood transfusions, yeah, and now you die.
You know, there are religious organizations that don't believe in medical intervention at all. And while the individuals that belong to those organizations certainly have that right to decide that for themselves, I don't believe that the corporations have the right to decide it for everybody unilaterally that works for them. That, you know, hey, if you get hurt in an accident, we're just not going to help you. Sorry, you're going to die. Because we don't believe in it.
I totally agree with what you're saying there. It's your religious views or a person's religious views should not also affect the workplace around it. Because, you know, we're Catholic. You know, just because I shouldn't say, or how should I say this? I don't have the right to say, no, I don't want to work here because I'm working with a Muslim or a Buddhist. I don't have that right to say, like, no, I don't want to work here because it's that person. I'm going to have to say, you know what? I got to deal with it. This is my job.
Well, yes and no. I was going to play devil's advocacy here, not because of my personal views, but for the sake of discussion. In this regard, and at least with this particular topic, if you as an employee have different views than the corporation and they are not allowing you certain benefits that you feel you deserve or that you feel you need, you as an employee clearly have the right to not work there anymore and find a different place of employment. Now, with that being said, and the fuel to that fire of unemployment is what it is and finding a job isn't what it was 8 years ago, agreed, understood, fantastic. But you don't have to go along with everything because someone says so. You have the ability to, you know, make those decisions and remove yourself from that situation. What Wade said of you had not having the right of working somewhere because of someone else's views, you totally have the right to do that. Leave that place of employment, find somewhere else. But the fact that a corporation is iron-fisting its employees into the founder's or CEO's religious views and not that of the employees themselves, you know, that's the problem. Whatever happened to separation between church and state? If it's law that people are covered to a certain degree, it shouldn't matter what your religious views are. The law is the law, period, end of story.
Well, and the argument that they're presenting for that is, while you are correct on that, it is also the government that is compelling them to offer something that they don't agree with. Therefore, where's the separation of church and state there? The state is compelling you to offer something that your church doesn't agree with. But I would take issue with something that you said in your argument about the company's opinion. The company doesn't have an opinion. The company is not a person. The founder may have an opinion, and he's certainly entitled to his opinion as an individual person.
Correct.
But the company does not have a voice. The company, well, apparently it does, according to the Supreme Court. The company should not have a voice. The company is nothing more than a set of legal binding documents that say these people are working together for a common cause. The company shouldn't have free speech, freedom of religion, because it can't exercise those, it shouldn't exercise those. And the weird thing about this is the way the Supreme Court has ruled on it is they have decided to exempt some closely held for-profit firms. It's an interesting term, closely held. If you look at the IRS definition, they define closely held companies as a corporation that has more than 50% of the value of its outstanding stock, directly or indirectly, owned by five or fewer individuals.
For those of us layman people, I'm sorry, because you got someone who's a company owner citing rules and regulations. I'm surprised you didn't start calling out, like, paragraph 7, sentence 2. But I see where you're going with this. Please carry on.
So let me explain. The rules state that a closely held company, which is what the Supreme Court has ruled on, is a company that more than half of its value is owned by five or fewer people. So if the three of us go into business, we're going to split the company, 33% each. That's more than 50% held by five or fewer people.
Correct.
If we take the company public and offer stock on the stock exchange where, the three of us hold 10% each, well, that's 30%. And the other 70% is owned by shareholders. Well, that's no longer a closely held company. Okay?
Agreed.
So, based on that definition, according to a Copenhagen Business School study, roughly 90% of all the companies in the U.S. are closely held.
When you think about some of these big corporations, that makes you realize the inequality from an income standpoint. Anyway, different topic.
But my point there is, and some of the companies that are listed, Mars Candy Bar?
Yep.
$33 billion in revenue, 72,000 employees, they're family owned. Now they get to pick and choose what they want to cover.
Based
on this ruling. This ruling creates a dangerous precedent where companies get to abuse their employees and claim it as religious freedom. And it's just, this is horrible.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my stance now is if my company's actions and going along the lines of the ruling today where, according to the Supreme Court, the company has its own religious views, we'll just operate under that that understanding at this point. And that contradicts or offends me and my religious views, do I have rights then to sue whatever one way or another because now I'm violated? I'm not being offered whatever that would, or am rather being denied things that are part of my religious outlook? Where's the line drawn, I guess, is my point. I mean,
that's part of the problem. Where do you draw the line now? Yeah. They've taken away the line.
Completely.
Where is it now? And part of the hypocrisy of this is it came out later that Hobby Lobby requested to not have to cover a few certain birth control pills, a few certain birth control medications, okay? It wasn't an across the board. It started off more broadly, but as the challenges, the court started kind of looking at them weird, they started dropping some stuff off their challenge to try and press it forward. So, they've persisted through to the Supreme Court about a few certain birth control medications. But the very medications that they were protesting that they shouldn't have to provide their employees because it's against their religious beliefs are part of the companies that they invest in their 401k retirement plan.
This opens up another door too, and I'll let you finish this before I get into it.
I'm going to have a couple links in the show notes. One is to a Wall Street Journal report detailing the closely held and the details of that. The other one is a link. It's on a site called Upworthy, but it's detailing a segment of John Oliver's HBO news show.
Yep.
Last week tonight. That's the one. Thank you. And he does a whole segment on it where he brilliantly dissects the issue at hand here and the problems from it. Follow the links. Check it out. It's an awesome video. It's on YouTube. But the link will be in the show notes. He does an awesome job of breaking it down.
So just to add more fuel onto this fire, a group of Christians call out Hobby Lobby for hypocrisy. And let's explain why. Hobby Lobby is taking the stance as a quote-unquote Christian company. with the understanding of the actions taken today, where the company can essentially announce their religious stance. Well, it turns out that a significant portion or majority of their merchandise is made in China. Well, why is that bad, you ask?
Oh, this ought to be good.
There are a ton of essentially sweatshops in China where people are forced to work prison-style hours and abuse-wise for essentially, let's call it pretty much what it is, zero money for the most part, to where it doesn't matter how hard they work, they're never going to get out of poverty. And these are some of the companies that is rumored to. Now, Hobby Lobby wasn't available or did not comment, even though they were asked to furnish a list of the factories in China they do business with. They did not furnish that list, at least to this article. But they take a stance and make the statement of they hold people higher than profits, yet they're purposefully getting product from sweatshops in China that oppress people. So they're now under fire from the social level beyond the legal ramifications of this whole contraceptives situation as well. So they put their name into the headlines, and now they're getting heat for it because people are starting to dig.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, China has been famous for their one-child policy and the rampant...
and that's in here, too. And
what's the word?
Sterilization, abortions.
Well, not just abortions, but, it's huge on contraceptives and birth control. There's the word I'm after. You know, to try and maintain or aim for their negative population growth that they're going for. You know, this is what you're holding up as cool.
Yeah, yeah. You're you're against this on one hand, but you're okay with supporting it elsewhere, provided you don't have any control over it. Or I don't even know how to better express that. But they're just... crosshairs are starting to line up on Hobby Lobby, and they may soon regret putting themselves into this, into the limelight with some of these legal situations.
Sure.
I mean,
and as well it should.
What's that?
I said, and as well it should.
Agreed. I mean, I myself will no longer shop there. It's right here. Although just recently they were talking about closing down a bunch of stores. We mentioned this maybe a month or so ago. So... And now they're generating negative publicity. It doesn't make sense all around to me. But hey, you know, apparently Christian business owners know best.
Well, unfortunately, some of them tend to get very mouthy and don't think through what they're saying.
Yep.
You know, this is not a good thing.
Agreed. Well, before we. Make this an exclusive topic. Let's shift gears and rather quickly.
What the heck are we going to talk
about? We're
about?
Still running shorter than your movie.
We had a very long movie segment today, and you're all welcome. Okay? You're welcome. You can express your thank yous in the comments. But I'm just telling you now, you're welcome.
Okay, whatever, Mark.
Fine.
Mark.
That was like almost exactly something he would say in Mark the movie. Who? What was his name?
Wahlberg?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It's like, yeah, you're welcome. This is for what I do for you. It's exactly what you do.
I guess that's kind of true. So you're welcome.
Anywho, let's try to sneak this last one in here. I guess we'll go with this recently popped up with a Finnish esports tournament restricting the female gender from playing certain games. Apparently the one high profile one would be the Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft, TCG, virtual TCG, where, among others, where the male bracket was allowed to play Dota 2, Hearthstone, StarCraft, and Street Fighter Ultimate 5, while the females were only allowed to play StarCraft 2 and Tekken Tag Tournament 2. And this has got the Finnish representatives in a lot of heat. They're saying that they're doing this because they want to have it recognized. The tournament is being sponsored by the International Esports Federation, where they want to have the sports, how do I say this correctly, brackets balanced, I guess is the best word to use it, where the females play in one bracket and the males play in another bracket, which is where they do it in the Olympics, but where the Olympics is that the females play in every sport that the males play in mirror image, but not in this esports tournament.
I'm curious on the backstory here, because I'm wondering if maybe this is more a result of maybe the women that wanted to compete only signed up for these deals, or they didn't get enough people in these other games to really have a substantial bracket, so they just cut it. You know, you made a statement about what they do with the Olympics, where it's male, female across the board. And that's a good point in that why is it being limited? But at the same time, a computer, keyboard, and mouse doesn't care if you're male or female.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with the Olympics, obviously, different musculature, different body types that a female, I'm going to sound sexist, but it's true. The fastest female runner can't compete with the fastest male runner. Pretty much fact.
Yeah, it's not the game going recognizing female participants, not recognizing blocking
sexuality and whatever. We all click the mouse the same way. We all click hit the keyboard keys the same way. So I don't really understand why there's a differentiation in gender in different brackets. And yeah, why is the game system set up with the exception of only in my mind that obviously gaming is not necessarily as big of a female culture as it is a male culture. There's a lot of female gamers, but I think generally,
you know, if the number of games that women could enroll in were restricted based on what they actually enrolled in, you know, they dropped the games that nobody ever enrolled in, you know, that's fine. But why is it segregated in the first place?
Yeah, that's the other side of my coin.
You know, this whole thing is BS.
One segment was that they didn't want a female knocking a male out of the tournament finals, which makes no sense.
So the best gamer wins, isn't that kind of the point?
That's what I believe was what a tournament would.
So they want to have a best male and a best female. They don't just want to have a single best overall gamer.
I would have liked? I would have liked to see them both play the same games in a male and female bracket.
And then have the finals.
The final match of each game is the winner of the female bracket and the winner of the male bracket play against each other.
So this is going to be kind of an odd comparison, but our folks do dog shows, okay? And in each dog show, you have a female's bracket and a male's bracket. And in that bracket, you have different age groups, colors, that kind of thing of that specific breed. At the end of both brackets compete, you have a competition of all the winners. All the ones that won their bracket then compete at the end for a best in show and then a best opposite. So if a male wins the best of show, then they pick the best possible female that would be then the best opposite. So you still get that male-female competition on their own. Then you get the best overall and then the runner-up of the opposite gender. So, I mean, strange comparison, but it's kind of right with what we were saying. Have separate male-female brackets, then you have the best of the best compete to see who, which gamer rules them all.
Yeah, it's...
Okay, but I don't see why you have separate brackets in the first place. Like you had said before, you know, you click the mouse the same, you game the same, you think the same, you play the same. I don't care... And I never did when I played Halo online. I played with guys and girls and kids, you know, and I didn't care whether they were a guy or a girl. If you're on my team, you better play hard.
Yeah, and I'm playing the caliber of the other player, not the person.
You know, exactly.
If it's an 8-year-old or a 40-year-old, if it's male or female, it shouldn't matter. High score is high score.
Yep.
So, yeah, it sounds like there's a lot of flack with this. It'll be interesting if subsequent tournaments follow suit or if they realize what's going on and shift gears into a better system down the road.
Well, I hope they do because, you know, this... Unfortunately, this is not the only case. There's plenty of cases where discrimination against women is still prevalent in the IT industry on various levels, and it's not good. It's not acceptable. There's no reason for it, you know.
Well, that's going to be another thought I just had, too, is we have to remove ourselves from our surroundings. This competition is in Finland. You said it's a Finnish competition. So I myself am not an expert in Finnish culture. I don't know if there's a strong sexual bias in the Finnish culture or if there's not. We would like to think that here in America, if there was a gaming competition, it didn't matter who you were, what age you were, you sign up for this, you pay the entry fee, you go in. Or they do a qualifying, and if you qualify, then you move on. It shouldn't matter here. But
it doesn't matter here. I know of a female StarCraft II player. She goes by the name of Scarlet. I forget what team she is on, but she plays on the same caliber as any other StarCraft II pro player.
So here in America,
but unfortunately, it does still matter here. There are still plenty of things, and I'm not talking specifically about games now, but
sure. There
are still plenty of things in the IT industry where there is prejudice against women in the workplace and in, you know, professional settings, and it's not acceptable.
Yeah, and it's hard to get rid of. I think we're all, I'm going to raise my hand and say I'm sure I'm guilty that if I'm in a certain situation and a female offers to help versus a male, depending on the situation, you know, I would probably make my decision based on sexuality, not necessarily on credentials. If I'm going to have someone wrench on my car, ingrained in my head, I think a guy is going to do a better job. It's not right. I'm not proud of it. But we are raised with certain associations, good, bad, or otherwise. And even in adulthood, we still will occasionally default to those initial programming.
Oh, yeah. When you say wrench monkey, and what is the one image that pops into your head is a guy with a grease stain on his shirt and holding a wrench.
Sure.
You don't see a chick unless it's some kind of calendar.
Yeah, pin-up model.
But I'm going to...
Okay, but while we can acknowledge that it is also a call to action on our part, we can't fix everybody else, but we can start with us.
Agreed. Totally.
No. You know, while we may acknowledge that this is still going on, that doesn't make it right. It is not acceptable. And we, the three of us, because that's all we can answer for, need to
be more objective.
We need to determine that that is not acceptable and it is going to stop with us.
Yeah. No, agreed. No argument there.
Now I'm going to bring a thing up. You know, this, as we said, this is happening in Finland, and no one's actually raising a thing about, well, oh, this country is terrible for allowing this to happen. But I mean, let's be honest, if it was in America, we would have so many people like, how could America let them do this? Like, our country would be called in.
But it's happening in America now.
I know, but it was not brought up that prevalent right now as it is with this tournament in Finland. Yeah,
I mean, Wade's statement is not necessarily that the bias is not happening here. Obviously, we've addressed that there's still very much a bias, gender, race, everything. We still have that here. It's not great, but like you said, we can fix ourselves and hopefully we can spread that way, but we can't be in control or responsible for others. But Wade's statement is exclusively on this gaming situation. If America were to hold the same competition with the same criteria that Finland is, in definitely the gaming community, America would be called out saying, how could this country do this? But no one seems to be doing that with Finland. They're just looking at the event as a standalone, not as a country responsibility or whatnot.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, kind of a interesting segue here, bringing it back a little bit to our birth control debate.
Thought we were done with that.
We got you heated up this episode.
It kind of ties in, though. It's amazing how many of these decisions, you know, right to birth, birth control, whether you compete in the same league or not, are all decided by guys.
It's true. I mean, I've seen some of them. The largest advocates for anti-birth control or pro-life. I hate that stupid phrase because everyone's pro-life.
You know, I
pro-life.
Take exception to that. They're not pro-life, they're pro-birth. Because once the baby's born, there's no... They don't care about providing a stable...
That's correct.
...environment for the underprivileged mother who just struggled to have this kid.
That's correct, but
they
so
don't
many
care
of those,
about the living. They care about being born.
I have seen the most... The strongest advocates for the pro-life group... Male, men, not women, not the ones that are truly affected by childbirth or the emotional and physical effects of an abortion or miscarriage or whatever. It's men because but the male gender, that's our largest contribution essentially in that realm, I guess, is making a decision because we're not involved in the rest of it.
Well, and you know, it's one of those things that I think this is a good call to action on the part of the guys to get out of making the decisions on women's health care. You know, none of these debates, there was never anything in Hobby Lobby's claim or anything that ever debates sexual health. Never once do they ever bring up the possibility of maybe not covering Viagra.
That's a very, very good point.
That's a whole nother rabbit hole.
It's interesting. At the risk of digressing slightly from our family show here, you know, if we take that off the table and the guys can't keep it up, then I'm guessing the women won't get pregnant.
It's that double-edged sword of, do what I say, not what I do.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
You know nothing, Jon Snow. We're meddling in stuff that, you know, we don't have a basis to argue on.
Nope.
This is not something that directly affects us. We shouldn't be making the decisions on it.
Oh, yeah. I sit here. My view on it is... Look, you do what you want with the child. It's not mine. I have no right to say what you do with it.
That's right.
You want to keep it, go ahead. You don't want to keep it, go ahead.
Yeah. It doesn't affect you. It doesn't affect me. It affects the only people involved, and that's it. That's all. Get out of the way.
I think that's a good place to leave it.
If you want to have this child and spend 18 years in misery... Your call.
And
keep on
that,
gaming.
With that, we're out of here.
It's not all misery, that's for sure.
We here at Abundance of Not do appreciate you listening in and would also appreciate you sharing us with your friends via the Stitcher Radio app. And also iTunes. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and join us at Facebook. Thank you.